How many got a Christmas present this Christmas that you had to read the instructions and still didn't help you to put it together? Huh? I remember years ago doing that with bicycles and things like that, but we're going to try to give you some instructions of one of the gifts that God has given us that really formulates at the birth of Christ, and it's an ongoing process. But as we think about gifts, how many have ever misplaced a gift, or maybe possibly because there's so many gifts, it gets kicked under the tree and it doesn't get open at Christmas time? Have you ever experienced that? A gift being lost? Yeah. We have experienced that also as a family, and it happens. For one reason or another, you know, it's misplaced. You forgot you got it. We unfortunately opened a present one year from my dad, and it was cold cash, and it was generous. And you put it in that back in the envelope, and you think you put it somewhere safe, and we haven't found it to this day. So those things happen, you know. I remember once. Luanne and I, we don't really exchange presents to each other for a number of reasons. One is to try to keep the cost down. Sometimes we usually buy something for the house together that we really need, try to keep that economic going. But one year I bought something and I put it in my drawer and I forgot it was even there until about a few months later. So I presented one day at the dinner table. Wasn't I a sharp-looking guy? Got her a present. You know, those things happen. And it made me think, you know, again, with this Christmas story and even the passage that Steve shared with us at the Christmas Eve service, I want to kind of put a different twist on it, and I want us to read that. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke 2. And I want to do a little something different here, okay? I want you to read along with me, but I want you to do two things. I want you to read and imagine in your mind's eye. Most of you probably do that when you read at home silently, a good book. You're picturing it in your mind. I want you to picture this because this is such a great scene. Can you imagine if you were there? See, we believe this is a true story that we're reading, that God had down for the shepherds. And just an amazing story that the heavens opened up. So let me read that to you and just kind of think through how you would be picturing this if you were there. All right? I'm going to start at verse 8 in chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Okay, you're the shepherds. You're keeping, yo, sheep, come on, get back here. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Then suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, magnificent. All right? But let's be honest. If you were there, it would have blown you away. They said they were terrified. That was just one angel. When the heavenly host appeared, it had to amp up the fear quite a bit. And I'm thinking They might have caught the glory to God in the highest because they were watching in the highest, but they might have missed these next words. And on earth, peace to men whom his favor rests. That's what we want to look about today. This peace that God is offering to certain people, to you and I who are believers in Christ. And as we unpack this, we want to really kind of find out what this peace is all about and how it operates. As I made this study, I got pretty excited about studying this. You know, we Christmas time, peace, joy, love, it's all the words we hear. But when you really get into studying what God has intended for us, peace, along with all the others, peace is unbelievable. And we want to take a look at that. So let's kind of think about its origin. You know, we can think about peace on earth. I've kind of joked about it at times when you have the Miss America contest. All the candidates, or whatever they call them, what would you do if you could change world peace? You know, it ain't happening. Tim touched on that last week. This world is broken, and it's broken because of sin. And really, going back to even our thought with Jim Ramone when he's here, when he talked about the Godhead, before even creation was established by God, God existed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for, we can't even fathom it, because he had no beginning. You can't think about that. Billions and billions and trillions of years, okay? God had no beginning, and there was perfect peace, love, unity, is what Jim talked about. Then he created angels. And Lucifer and the fallen angels, you know the story. Peace was no longer something universal. God now had an enemy. And when we think about not having peace, we think about enemies. When Adam sinned, he became an enemy of God. And ever since, we have not had peace. Now, I'm told, and I'm not sure I believe this, as we do study for the scriptures, I'm told the only time the earth never had peace and war, that type idea, is when Jesus was born and lived. Now, that could be possible when you think about Rome owned and ruled all the earth at that time. I wouldn't call that peace. Maybe Rome wasn't fighting other countries, but Israel, and as we heard the stories, they were suppressed people. They didn't have peace. I believe, and I want to make this statement powerful, when sin entered our world, there has never been peace. Peace with God, peace with each other. Even Jesus says, in the end times, as we've had all through history, there's wars and rumors of wars. Have you been following the North and South Korea? That's rumors of wars that could be very dangerous for us. And we certainly don't want that to happen. Nobody wants war, but it's inevitable because of sinful hearts. And the angels are declaring on earth there's peace. Peace is possible. So let's look into this peace. We go back to Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Great verses. Let me just read this to you. You're all familiar with these verses, but it's neat. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, most of us think of shoulders. We have two shoulders. The scripture says here, shoulder. The reason being is the correct interpretation is the back, the middle of the back. And even as I read that, I couldn't help but think, one of the ways that Christ is accomplishing, this child is accomplishing peace, is because one day, not only will he have governments on his back, he bore the cross on his back to accomplish peace. And we're going to see that in the scripture. So this child is being born who will bear the government upon his back, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is in charge of peace. Then it goes on to say this, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, in order to it, he will establish it. And he will establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forevermore. And then I love this phrase at the end. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform or accomplish it. This kingdom that God has is about peace, and the world has never experienced it, nor ever will it. Isaiah 57:21 says this, there is no peace to the wicked. It will not happen. Not the peace that we're going to look at. Let's define this peace. In the Old Testament, the word shalom. How many know the word shalom? What was it used for a lot in the Old Testament or among the Jews? A greeting. Shalom. One of the translations is, and is your father healthy? You know, shalom. Right? Have you ever used that to your father or your friends? All right, I was talking to Scott. He's got good Jewish background. Many times it also means a contentment, a peace, a harmony. That's a great word to tie in with peace too, harmony. Harmony is something that, especially in singing, that each of us are doing something separate, but really it works together. And when we do our part and we do it well, it sounds well. So harmony is a wonderful word to picture peace. And I think God wants that to happen in that way so that we can be uniquely different, gifted, but yet together we can create wonderful things together. When we get to the New Testament in the Greek word, the Greek word here is arana, if I'm pronouncing that right. I used all the phonetic spelling that they had. This gives us a greater understanding of what this piece is about. And if you would go to your concordance, and Jake, if you would put up that translation here, this is a wonderful translation. It's about, it's the fifth description of peace in the Greek concordance. And here's what it says. Of Christianity, that's what you and I have in Christ. It is the tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Christ. And so, fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that may be. That's a powerful definition. I kind of wrote it in my own words, and this is something that you could do too, trying to keep with the text and not add to it. But here's what I wrote for myself to try to understand this. Because Christ has obtained our salvation through his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and ultimately his second coming to reign in peace for us, his sons and daughters can now, because of his sovereign grace, in every detail of their lives, live in a calm assurance, whether this grace is comfortable or uncomfortable, like we learned from Paul Tripp. Because God is working everything for my good, and I can embrace it all through faith and trust in the goodness of his will. You and I can enter into this peace knowing that God is doing something according to his will that is the best for us, if we really believe that. And that's kind of what I really want to encourage us today to think about. This peace that God is offering. It's interesting, if you read all the epistles, especially from Paul, Paul opens every letter to the churches by these two phrases, grace and peace to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace kind of hang out like love, faith, and hope does. It's all through there. Except when you get to Timothy, in 1 and 2 Timothy, he has grace, mercy, and peace. Peter says the same thing. John says it in 2 John and in Revelations. Jude has it. It's all through the scriptures. The writers of the scriptures through the Holy Spirit are telling us grace and peace is yours and mine in Christ. Another interesting thing, just thinking through the 30 years here, when we first began to formulate this church and look into what it means to be registered with the government and all that, we had to come up with a name. And one of those names was, and you probably don't know this, Grace and Peace Church. Does anybody remember that? Okay, I guess that was kind of behind the scenes. But we came up with Family Bible Church. But Grace and Peace was one of the things that we were throwing around. So it's really a wonderful aspect to understand about grace and peace. If you want to, you can turn to John 14:27. Give you a second. This is a great introduction by Jesus himself, helping us to understand what this peace is. Remember, it's a gift. It's a gift given to you. We don't want to lose it. John 14, verse 27, and he's talking to his disciples. Jesus is getting ready to leave this earth to die, be resurrected, and he wants them to know this, all of his followers. He says this in 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. Jesus wants us to understand something very significant. This peace is something that only Jesus can give. The world cannot give it to you. It is a special peace. Go to Philippians 4. Again, real familiar verses, but we're trying to discover the depth of this gift that we have with peace. I want to start Philippians 4, verse 6. We all know this. Don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God. Now listen to this. Which transcends all understanding. I can't even help you understand the depth of this full peace. I'm just trying to give you a little glimpse of what God is saying this peace is about. It transcends all understanding. It's beyond understanding. But it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to say, so then finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This portion reminded me a little bit on that portion that Tim was talking about of not being part of this world. You and I have to think differently. We don't want to be connected to this world at all. We are now in the kingdom of light, a kingdom of love, a kingdom of peace. And we want to focus totally on that. And that's hard to do because the world's trying to suck us in. But with God's help, we don't have to do that. And it goes on to say, as we meditate and think about the things of God and want what God has for us. And in the context today, this peace. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. This peace is supernatural peace. And we don't even know the extent of it or what it really can do in and through us if we open our lives by faith to it. What I want to do is try to encourage you this coming year to say, you know what? As I look at this gift of peace that comes from Christ, I'm going to try to put this in my life. Now, how do we do that? Let me just share some verses with you that I think are just an encouragement. It says this in Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of the cross. That's how Christ has come to really make peace available for us. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I can't earn this peace. It's a gift from God. And it really is hidden all in Jesus. Ephesians tells us that he is our peace that has broken down this wall that has separated us from God. Our salvation is the ultimate answer for this peace. And it's not an idea or a state of mind. It's a person. And it's in Christ. And you and I, this next year, can live that out, allowing the Holy Spirit to create that in us. So that then, as Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule our hearts. God's being practical here. Again, not getting caught up with all the things that are in the world. I want to set my affections on living for God. Because if I do, I get everything that God's giving out. His presence, his love, his joy, his peace. The nine elements of the fruit of the Spirit. They are all yours and our and mine. All right? God wants us to be people who experience peace. So that even once we experience this peace, we can bless others by being peacemakers. We have the ability to take this peace, let it control and rule our lives so that we can go out into this world and be peacemakers ourselves. What a wonderful opportunity to do that. James 3:18 says this, those who sow in peace will reap a harvest of righteousness. I want to just remind you again with the Christmas season, you and I have been given a gift, and it's peace, supernatural, beyond our understanding, and it's available to you and I through faith, recognizing that it's a person, Christ, that the Holy Spirit will help us live in and through. And as we look back on this past year, all in all, as a church, it's been a marvelous year. With the 30-year anniversary, with all the speakers coming back, and just the wonderful things that they have shared with us, with what we've accomplished through God, with all the mission trips, the VBS, just so many things that we could say God was here this year. We want to praise God for that. But in this next year, God's got new things for us. So we kind of want to not live on those laurels. We want to make new things happen with God's help. That's why prayer is so important here at Hope. We want to pray, God, what do you have for us? So that we, as a body of Christ here, can accomplish great things for God. So we want to forget about the wonderful things God has done in the sense that we're not going to live on them. We've got new things to do. We certainly don't forget about them because they're great reminders of God's faithfulness. We also want to forget about those things that weren't so good, that we actually even had failings of. We want to understand if God's mercies are new every day, as we go into this next year, we can take that promise and that peace can enter into this new year. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press on so that I can obtain all that God has for me, so that you can obtain all that God has for you. Peace is something that you and I want to build our lives and let it grow so that we can, as the scripture in James says, so we can sow peace all the time, so we'll reap a harvest of righteousness. That's what we have as a gift from God, and it's in a person. So my encouragement for you is to really receive that gift. This Christmas, Luanne purchased two things for our sons, Brian and Steve. And I don't know if it's our age or what, but she hid them someplace so they wouldn't find them, and she couldn't find them, as Bonnie was sharing with, okay? But Luanne knew she had those gifts, so she was relentless. She even asked me, help me look. So we looked in all the closets and everything. Couldn't find them. She prayed about it. God, help me find these gifts. Why did she do that? Because she really wanted to find them. And she knew they were purchased. And God helped her. And she found the gifts and wrapped them and gave them, and they were appreciated. You and I, this year, there's so many things that are ours in Christ. But make peace a gift that you're going to go after this year. Be relentless about it in prayer. Lord, I want your peace. It doesn't mean we're going to have a calm sea, as Paul taught. There are times where God initiates uncomfortable grace. But I believe this. God's point is, even in the times of heartache and trouble and trials, peace is available to you and I. But it really needs to come by believing there's a sovereign God who is actively moving on my behalf to accomplish his purpose in me. If you and I don't have that faith, we're going to falter and crumble at times. So when you sense those times of crumbling, call out to God. God is quick to hear his children asking for help. Let's be people that seek peace this year and see what God accomplishes. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you that there, in all the years of creation, because of sinful brokenness, there has never been peace. And Lord, there's much peace and unrest in everyone's soul because they do not know you. And yet, Lord, I believe there's even peace and unrest in our own souls, even though we have you, because we have a sense of we don't believe it. We don't believe that you, a sovereign God, is carrying out every detail in our life to accomplish good things for us. And peace is one of them. Lord, help me believe this year when things come my way that are hard, that cause turmoil in my life, that I would remember that you are my peace. A peace that transcends understanding. And I can have your presence and this peace operate in my life so that I can say, it is well with my soul. I pray this for each one of my family members here at Hope, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would have a year where we really sense this perfect peace. As Isaiah reminds us in 26:3, you will keep us in perfect peace if our minds are stayed on you, Lord, and if we trust in you. Help us to trust you for this peace this year. In the name of Jesus, amen.